Good evening, and welcome to yet another episode of The Last Knock, part of the Strange Society Network. Check out at StrangePodNet on Twitter for all your macabre podcasting needs. I am Johnny Numb, and tonight on another solo episode, I will be looking at several short films that came out in 2020, my thoughts on them, and where you can watch them and find their creators. First, we have Choices, directed by Michael McCallum and running 6 minutes in total. Hollywood spends untold millions on films that serve as extreme forms of escapism, rehashing the most familiar of human emotions and conflicts in the process. The Marvel and DC cinematic universes are prime examples of excess and exhaustion, where any unique elements are sacrificed at the altar of market and fan demand. So, what I'm saying is, while major studios give us one CGI apocalypse after another, to diminishing returns and numbing effect, give me something small and intimate like McCallum's Choices any day. With a one-room setting, spare set decoration, a pack of cards, a candle, a bottle of booze, a gun, and ambiguous black and white photography, this two-person tale packs a punch. In an echo of our real-world pandemic, two men, Mitch, played by Rico Bruce Wade, and Charlie, played by McCallum, hole up in a confined space, pondering their losses and future options while outside civilization succumbs to an unnamed virus. In a super-efficient 6 minutes, McCallum exploits the subtleties of sound in a hollow space, including the whistle of wind outside a lone window, creating a decimated, empty world without showing any explicit detail of the mortality outside. Choices is currently playing the festival circuit. For more information on McCallum's previous and upcoming projects, go to rebelpictures.net, and you can find the filmmaker on Twitter at rebelmccallum. Our second short of the evening is I Only Kill the Pretty Ones, written and directed by Dave Koenig and running 12 minutes. Is it a movie? Is it a meta movie? Is it a movie within a meta movie? The last time I saw something take explicit aim at the sometimes alleged art of media criticism, Michael Keaton was tearing down a theater reviewer in Birdman. Koenig's previous effort was the dystopian silent short Death Comes Twice. I Only Kill the Pretty Ones maintains a certain minimalism in set design and a starkness to its black and white digital photography. Criticism is often confined to newspapers, squalid corners of the internet, and books published by reputable presses, several of which make cameos here. Tallulah Tushingham, played by Bella Koenig, is a critic specializing in horror who's sick of the lack of creativity in an endless cycle of mindlessly gory screeners. Her editor insists she view one last film, and things take an interesting turn. There's a little bit of Mickey Keating's Darling running through this, from its isolated female protagonist to the question of whether the horror junk she's screened hasn't warped her reality in some way. When the titular screener unfolds, the image is bathed in a dull red and raises questions of whether she's a pawn in some alternate reality or simply succumbing to her own psychoses. Regardless, this is an unexpectedly cheeky little flick with some knowing humor and jabs not only at stuffy critical attitudes, but the questionable efforts that influence such cynicism. It proposes that the only solution to the blandness and repetition of uninspired, insufferable art is to bring the horror off the screen and into reality. I Only Kill the Pretty Ones can be viewed for free on YouTube. You can find more from Dave Koenig at themagnificentworldofdavek.com and on Twitter at A Fiend on Film. Short number 3. Its name was 2020. Directed by Daniel Brown and running 13 minutes. I'll admit I've been actively avoiding the news for the past couple years. Outside of Twitter, it's just been too much. Self-care is a term that's probably been used more since 2016 than any other point since its inception, and I've been doing it doing whatever I can to keep my mental health in check. We are the collective it of Its Name Was 2020, and not unlike Stephen King's It, it holds a mirror up to our ugliest moments as a society. Pennywise the clown could assume the form of werewolves, mummies, any monster it so desired to scare children. As the children became adults, it mirrors the ugliness of homophobia, racism, and misogyny. Its Name Was 2020 takes a simple setup: a woman, played by Adela Adriana Mascu, and her grandchild, Lily Montero, playing in an empty park during COVID times. We fade to white on the girl's smile and enter a real-life horror show, a montage of news clips edited in a manner that piles extreme on top of extreme. Words and actions of elected officials, celebrities, news clips of protests and riots, concepts of good and virtuous juxtaposed against bad and evil. The thesis of Its Name Was 2020 is that our behaviors and our treatment of our fellow human beings will influence whether we evolve past our differences or welcome a dystopian hellscape. At a time when most media is skewed toward provoking its audience in some way, this short offers a refreshingly impartial take on where we are right now. The way it forces us to confront our own faults without preaching is refreshing, and the ending leaves things similarly open-ended. Is there hope within the chaos, or vice versa? The choice is ours. Its Name Was 2020 can be viewed for free on YouTube. You can find director Daniel Brown on Twitter at WideEyedPix and writer Joseph Sorrentino at MyLittleRascal1. Our next short is Play, Pause, Kill, written and directed by David Takshara and running 13 minutes. The desire to embrace the derivative is very pronounced in the horror genre. Stagnation settles in whenever something becomes trendy, as producers grind down shop-worn tropes and jump scares until there's nothing left to grind. Finding a muse is tricky, especially when you actively seek one. And even when you have one, the intuition that accompanies inspiration is often riddled with self-doubt. No wonder the greatest artists have the greatest misgivings about their own work. Cinematic jack of all trades, David Takshara, directed, edited, and photographed Play, Pause, Kill, which takes the simple premise of a one-night stand and turns it into a macabre celebration of female empowerment. Julie, played by Anastasia Hilda, texts back and forth with her suitor, Henry, played by Lucas Dutelieu. She identifies as an aspiring screenwriter with an interest in horror, and he proposes wine and a scary movie to spark some inspiration. Needless to say, the encounter doesn't go as planned. Takshara reverses the typical roles of men and women in this situation, making Henry the object of sexual gratification and Julie the one with the creative drive. How many times have we seen women exist in the reductive capacity of wearily massaging the shoulders and egos of their beloved, tortured artists, spouses, and boyfriends? The sound design is scintillating and works well in conjunction with a unique visual sensibility that favors comforting aesthetics which lead to unexpected horror. Play, Pause, Kill, along with David Takshara's other short films, can be viewed for free on YouTube. And you can follow him on Twitter at David Takshara, and that is TEIXERA. And the fifth and final short of the evening is The Relic, written and directed by J.M. Logan and running 14 minutes. Some reviewers compared Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight to John Carpenter's The Thing, with its emphasis on the art of deception. While Carpenter's film took notions of assimilation and transformation to transgressive, fantastic heights, Tarantino's three-hour effort remained focused on the earthbound motives of thieves, liars, and the blameless souls caught in the vicious crossfire. Not unlike both of these films, The Relic, not to be confused with 2020's Relic or the 1997 monster flick of the same name, starts off as one thing and quickly becomes another. In an efficient 14 minutes, it begins in the aftermath of something bad that's befallen a group of explorers. Kicking open the door to a darkened, isolated cabin in the middle of a blizzard, argumentative friends Marcus, Johnny Wachter, Jacob, Jesse Einstein, and Sadie, Stephanie Einstein, attempt to help a bloodied man speaking an unidentifiable language, while a bagged-up totem, over 900 years old, one character claims, looms ominously in the background. The performances are intense, but purposefully so. There's a Day of the Dead sense of urgency to the conflict that keeps the plot moving along. Ultimately, the group's act of altruism proves catastrophic. Writer-director J.M. Logan creates a chilling mood of snowbound desperation, and the makeup and prosthetic effects, which appear to be largely practical, are wonderfully unsettling. The Relic is in the midst of festival screenings, with 2021 screenings to be announced. For more information, you can find them on Facebook and Twitter at The Relic Movie. That brings us to the end of another shorts roundup. I hope it's given you some bite-sized horror and horror-esque films to check out and nibble on. As always, be sure to signal boost your indie filmmaker friends on social media and watch their stuff. Tonight's scream out goes to @PromoteHorror on Twitter and Facebook, one of the tireless champions of indie horror from shorts to features and all points in between. Thank you for all you do to bring the underground word to the masses. And you can find me and my cat on Twitter and Letterboxd at JohnnyNum. There are no H's in those Johnnies, but there are B's in the Nums. You can also find my reviews at CrashPalaceProductions.com and thescreeningspace.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.